This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Alberta tune-up ahead. Then it's time to drop the puck. Bring on the Jets. Good evening, Calgary Flames fans. Time for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. Episode number 65, recording it on Saturday, July 25th, 2020. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Happy to have you guys here. The waiting, the anticipation, the unknown, the longing for hockey. Oh, I couldn't be any happier. Finally, hockey is just days away. The hectic hockey world lies ahead, and this pandemic, man, this has made me truly realize that when I'm busy watching hockey and doing podcasts and updating the website, it's my happy place, man. I love being busy with hockey stuff, and we're back at it here for what's season 1.2 on the Hockey Podcast Network. And the qualifying round, which starts next Saturday morning for some guys, with 5 games, I believe, that first day. Wow, it's going to be off the charts. It is going to be so, so fun. It's going to be a little different, man. It's going to be different to have hockey back. And when we get on the show, we're not going to have to talk about the pandemic or things we've been doing to keep ourselves occupied and stuff during the pandemic as we're bored off our asses. I want to talk about golf with you every week. I want to tell you about my foot injury that I'm nursing and none of that. We can talk about hockey now. And that is what I love to do and what hopefully you guys love to do also. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about this return. I'm nervous that it will be a quick return. I pray that the Flames can get by the Jets, and I want a long postseason run. There's nothing better than watching your team go deep into the playoffs and have some success. And this core group, man, this will determine, this playoffs is going to be so important. It's going to determine so much of what happens to this roster over the next 2 years. And I don't know, guys, this core group, they owe it to us, man. They owe us some success. Johnny, we're talking to you. You owe us some points. You owe us a big win. Everything needs to kind of fall into place, and we need to get by Winnipeg and make a little bit of a run here. On this episode, it's time to actually talk Flames hockey. A regular guest of ours and one of my favorite people to talk Flames hockey with, Audie James, is going to join the show for another great discussion with him. And we're going to talk about the NHL's return to play, the Flames-Jets breakdown, and of course, we're going to get Audie's predictions. Nothing more important than that. And then we'll continue the prediction train as the guys from Grit 460, the Winnipeg Jets podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, will join me just for a couple-minute clip and get me their predictions on what they think will happen in this qualifying round series against the Winnipeg Jets. Then we'll dive into some Flames news, a Facebook poll. Yep, you guessed it, another Facebook poll. It's going to give us predictions. Flames fans predict what will happen in this series. And then we'll wrap with a quick Flames-Oilers exhibition preview and a preview of Game 1. It's all on this episode of Flames Unfiltered.
Using the wrong tool for the job? Use the right tool for the job. Introducing the Lawnmower 3.0 by Manscaped, featuring advanced skin-safe technology. Order today at manscaped.com.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. All right, joining the show now, our buddy Audie James. Been on the show numerous times, and I'm telling you what, this year I hope we have him on routinely. One of my favorite guys to talk Flames hockey with. And we finally get to talk about games. Isn't that good news?
oh man, the last time we were talking, we were uncertain whether or not this was going to happen. I know you and I both had our doubts.
We both did. We both doubted it heavily.
Big time. And I'm glad that we were wrong. I'm glad we were proven wrong. I'm glad the league put a good plan in place. Things are looking a lot better. I mean, obviously, like we talked about before we hit record, this thing is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to solve itself anytime soon, but at least we can get some kind of normalcy with sports coming back. So,
you know, you mentioned the plan. And do you think that the league could have done a better job with the plan?
I got to be honest. I don't think that there's much more they could have done. This was executed perfectly, like almost seamless. Everything was laid out proper. Everything, there was detailed, like everything down to the draft lottery was detailed, how it's going to work. And then we get into the salary cap, and they explained how the salary cap's going to look. They were able by some miracle to work out a CBA this whole thing. This was the most seamless CBA agreement I think we've ever had in NHL history.
This is like, I hope NHL fans realize what a good silver lining this is to a really bad 3 months of our lives.
Honestly.
I mean,
it couldn't have gone better.
It's off the charts. This is, I mean, last time we talked, if me and you could have said, okay, let's come up with like the perfect scenario, this is it. And I honestly believe that if we can get these guys on an airplane Sunday and get them through three tests this week, we're going to be in good shape.
We're laughing. And, you know, I get some hope out of the reports of the NBA where I can't remember how many tests they did. Over
380 some.
Not one single positive test. They're doing it right too, I think.
But we did, in the NHL, didn't we do 800 tests three times and had two positives? Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd have had me put money on that, I would have said we would have had between 20 and 30 positives.
Totally. Wouldn't have been outside of the realm of the possibility at that time either. Like,
absolutely.
Especially with all these players coming in from other markets and other countries all over the place. And the fact that we were able to produce such little amount of positive tests is incredible. I'm pumped.
So do you think we're going to get to the bubble and we're going to be okay once we get to the bubble? Do you feel that way? Because I do. I feel like once we get to the bubble, I feel like we're going to be okay.
Well, the way things are going so far, I think we have no reason to believe then it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's been awesome so far.
It's better than we could ever.
Exactly. Teams are doing the right things by putting in precautions, and we're seeing people miss camp. I mean, Boston fans, I know Pasternak, and I can't remember who the other player is. But regardless, Pasternak's been out, but they said he's going to play. He's going to be at the bubble. So they're doing the right things, and they're putting all the right precautions in place to make sure that this thing goes seamless. And I think that has obviously a lot to, you got to give a lot of credit to not only the league, but each individual team for stepping up and doing their due diligence.
You know, I read most, not all of it, but most of the plan / protocol, and it's pretty amazing. It's detailed down to how they can handle ourselves in an elevator. And, you know, maybe that's a little overboard, but I think if we're going to err, let's err on the side of extreme caution here. And have you heard any negativity from players? I haven't heard anything from players or staff on what they're headed to.
Not since they announced that this is how it was going to be. Because I know that there were skeptics before and leading up to it, and then we got the announcement, and the players still had to vote on it and whatnot. But I think that every player should be really proud of being a National Hockey League player at this point for the way that the league has stepped in and done everything they possibly can to make sure that these players can get back on the ice and do it as safe as possible.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Has there been any surprises for you since, maybe since we've last talked? Has there been any surprises for you in the return to play?
For me, I think the surprise factor came for how little amount of players opted out.
Really? Because, see, I don't know. Maybe I'm a hard ass. I opted. I said no. I said one guy would.
Yeah, and, you know, I did a whole video about this on my channel, too, and people called me crazy.
I think I called you crazy, didn't I?
You did. Well, I don't know if you directly
no,
called me crazy.
I didn't.
In a roundabout respect.
No, we banter back and forth, and that's what this is about, right? I mean, we're not going to agree.
You're not doing it
everything.
Right if you don't get banter.
I mean, we gotta have a little fun with it, but yeah, I mean, you thought there was going to be a lot more, and
I just wasn't sure that I knew exactly what the league was going to put out, and it's
sure.
not that I didn't. It's not that I didn't trust the league or didn't have faith in them putting in a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, like we've said before, there were too many unknowns.
There was.
We didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
I mean, when we talked last time and when, you know, I did a podcast on it, on my other podcast about the same topic that you did your YouTube video on, and make sure you go, let's throw you a plug right while we're doing it. Make sure you go and watch Audie James's YouTube videos. They're excellent, top notch, great hockey talk, and just, you're always coming up with good insight on controversial or even just things happening in the hockey world. So make sure you go give him a follow on YouTube and Twitter for that matter. But I, you know, when we talked about that, neither one of us knew what kind of bubble we were going into.
No, we didn't. Like, there had been speculation, right? You know, you get your Friedmans, your Chris Johnsons of the world who, you know, they're the fly on the wall that kind of get the preliminary information as they're kind of going over these discussions. And we hear about the bubble and we hear about potential hub cities and we hear about this, we hear about that, we hear about the format. But we really didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We just heard bits and pieces from different sources. So to finally have it all pieced together in such a good way,
mm-hmm.
like such a well laid out, well explained way, I was shocked. Not that I, and again, not that I expected the league to do it in a bad way,
mm-hmm.
but I was just, I was expecting it to be a little more clustered and a little more scattered about than it was, but they executed this thing perfectly.
They did. And I think, you know what, I think a lot of that, and believe me, we're just right in the initial stages of this. I think they're reaping the rewards of a good, solid plan.
Totally. 100%. And if I'm Gary Bettman, I'm patting myself on the back. I'm patting my return to play committee on the back. Everybody should be really proud of the job that they've done so far. And the point that we've gotten to now with, well, I almost called it preseason, but we're gonna get exhibition games mm-hmm. next week.
Isn't that crazy? Let's skip ahead to that a little bit. So on Tuesday night, Calgary plays Edmonton in an exhibition game. And we're going to be playing in front of no fans for that, and we're going to be playing in front of no fans for the games. And I'm not sure what that's going to be like. I really don't know. The only thing I can liken it to is back in 2005, I went to the World Junior Hockey Championships in Grand Forks, North Dakota. The best year for the World Juniors there was. Crosby, I mean, Ovechkin.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. And when I was in Grand Forks for that, there was a bad snowstorm, like a bad, bad snowstorm, and severely cold temperatures along with the bad snowstorm. So a couple of the games between, you know, Germany and Sweden and during the day had literally no fans there because you couldn't hardly get to the arena. And thank goodness I was staying real close by, so like I was able to get to it. And it was just odd, you know, it was just odd watching those games with no fans. And that's kind of what we're going to be going into when we get into this bubble. And I don't know if you watch any baseball game. I know you're a big baseball guy. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you watch any games here in the last week. What have you, and what are your thoughts of no fans, and how will that correlate to National Hockey League games with no fans?
I have watched the games, to answer your question, and more specifically the Blue Jays being in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, big following here. But I watched, like, it's hard to think of any ballpark having no fans, let alone Fenway Park. And the Blue Jays played against the Red Sox yesterday and today. And honestly, and I found out actually about this through Calgary Radio when they were talking about it today with Arash Madani of Sportsnet in Toronto, that they actually worked with MLB The Show, the video game creator, to utilize their crowd, ambient crowd noise. But what they also had was pre-recorded chants. So if the Blue Jays are the home team, they already have the "Let's Go Blue Jays." Like they have all that stuff pre-recorded.
Is that where they got that?
And they're using it off an iPad. So the I think it's called San Diego Productions or something along the lines. Is the production team who makes MLB the Show alongside Sony. They actually worked along with the MLB to create this app that they use on their iPads that plays the ambient background noise, and they have the pre-recorded chants already. And then when anything big happens, they just transition into like a, you know, crowd hype kind of thing. It's incredible.
Okay. I thought, you know, like when they were talking about this crowd noise, pumping crowd noise, I'm like, oh, that's going to sound stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the Dodgers game last Saturday, and I'm not a Dodgers. No, it wasn't Dodgers. Take that back. It was a Mets-Yankees game last Saturday night. Just had no care in the world. Just wanted to watch some baseball, flipping through channels late at night. It's on. I see the cutout figures of people in the stands behind home plate. I thought, that's stupid. But then I listened to the pumping in of the crowd noise, and I thought, holy shit, this is amazing. This sounds so good and so, like, spot on. And I'm like, if the National Hockey League can do this, then I'm all for it. Because this is, if I would have closed my eyes, I would have thought I was watching a regular game.
I was just going to say that. If you were listening to that on the radio, or if you didn't know any better, you'd think that that was a sellout game.
Yeah.
And the cool thing that I actually found out, too, about this app is the developers of the game, they know the capacity of all these stadiums. So, for example, if it's a 40,000-person stadium opposed to a 35,000-person stadium, the 40,000-person stadium is going to sound like a 40,000-person stadium. So they actually got down to the nitty-gritty of the max capacity and what it sounds like if it's a full crowd, if it's a half sellout, if three-quarters. It's incredible.
So like, what does Tampa Bay do there then?
Oh, God.
You know, 300 people?
This is going to be nothing new to them. So same with the Coyotes and the Panthers for the NHL.
I know.
This is going to be nothing new to them. Every game is going to be a home game.
But hey, if we had a conversation where we haven't ripped on the Panthers or the Coyotes,
I don't think so. It's too damn easy.
It is. It's way too easy. On to the next thing. You know when you look at this quarterfinal/play-in, whatever you want to call it, first round, series best of five. What series outside of the Flames Jets are you looking forward to the most?
Oh man, that's a good question.
And then we'll get into Flames talk, but I just
talked about it on the last podcast I was on too. And you know what? I think I'm going to stick with what I said in Toronto Columbus.
Really? Is
for
that
the
just
sole purpose, for the sole purpose of the fact that I don't think it's going to be as one-sided for Toronto as most people think it's going to be.
I don't either.
Because John Tortorella's system and the way he beats into his players that, you know, we can always be better. You guys are the underdogs. We need to win these games. Everybody's betting against you. People buy in. And look at what happened last year with Tampa.
I know. I think that's going to be a good series.
It's going to be a great series.
Come on, it's an 8-9 series. Why do Toronto fans feel like this is a 5? You know, they act like it's a 5-12. It's not. It's an 8-9. I mean, Toronto, you weren't that great down for quite a bit of this season. You weren't that great.
Totally. And you know what? People will make the argument that Freddie Anderson is going to be the key part in Toronto's net. But he, to the latter half of this shortened season, he was god-awful. He couldn't stop a beach ball.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it has to do with the defense, and that's where I think Columbus has them beat as well. But between the pipes, strictly talking about goaltending, we saw some pretty impressive goaltending performances by Korpisalo until he got hurt.
For sure.
And then Merzlikins came in, and he was absolutely incredible.
He was very good.
He was excellent, and I mean, say what you want about playoff experience and how little he may have of it. Keep in mind, Flames fans, David Rittich has zero playoff experience, but we'll get to that later.
We are going to get to that later. I have that on my list of things to discuss.
Perfect.
Big
but
shock,
I still think that between the pipes and on the blue line, Columbus has Toronto beat. There's no there's no denying that the top six and even arguably the bottom six in Toronto, there's lots of scoring power, there's lots of threats offensively and whatnot. But if you break it down to the blue line, if you go strictly off forwards, the blue line and goaltending. I think Columbus takes goaltending and the blue line away from Toronto. And the thing that's going to make it the most exciting for me is the fact that so many people probably don't think that this is going to be a close series.
You know what other series I think is going to be close?
What's that?
Vancouver, Minnesota.
Again, another these. I totally agree, and I could also see the Nashville, Arizona series being close.
I think that'll be close.
The Vancouver, Minnesota series. This is my take on that series. Is I think it's going to be a boring but close series.
I think if Minnesota wins Game One, that baby's going to be off the charts exciting and off the charts good, and I think Minnesota will win. If Minnesota loses Game One, and I could probably say this about every series, but I don't know, my gut tells me that's going to be a good series.
Never has a Game One been so important, eh?
So like, crazy
you
important.
You cannot afford to go behind one game, let alone two.
Oh.
And a lot of another thing you have to consider, too, is looking at most of these series, when you break them down, there's a back-to-back in every series.
Yeah.
When that back-to-back is depends. For example, the Penguins and the Canadiens, their back-to-back is game 4-5.
That's
so enough. If Pittsburgh goes ahead,
There's no 1-2 back-to-back, is there?
No, there's no 1-2s.
Look, 2-3s.
2-3, there's a 3-4, and there's a 4-5.
Okay.
So Pittsburgh and Montreal, like if Pittsburgh goes ahead one game, or even if Carey Price steals a game from them, you can still, like, and this is going to come down to a goaltending discussion as well, is the fact that who is going to be your playoff goaltender, but at the same time, you got to be prepared for those back-to-backs. There's never back-to-backs in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but in the Stanley Cup play-ins qualifying rounds, you best believe that
it's going
to
be.
You're going to have to rely on your number two at some point. So you can't just. What I'm trying to get at is you can't just get away with a hot Carey Price. You can't just get away with a hot Cam Talbot or David. You have to rely on your tandem. So if you don't have a successful tandem, you're not going to make it very far in this qualifying round.
So the Calgary's in camp now. We're in week. Well, we're midway through week two.
Mm-hmm.
What? How would you describe the Flames camp thus far?
I would say more or less surprising from players in the bottom six. The bottom six looks incredible right now. And Dylan Dubé.
Isn't that what we want, though? Don't we?
That's 100% what we want, because we all know what's going to happen with Johnny Gaudreau. You and I, you almost spat out your drink because you know I'm right. We all know that the missing man milk carton meme is going to come back out of Johnny Hockey. But Dylan Dubé, my goodness, he's really solidifying himself as an NHL everyday player. So I think that this camp and the way he conditioned himself during this break is really paying dividends. And another surprising player, a guy who I don't think will start necessarily, but certainly a good player to have in the mix, is Zach Rinaldo. And from the minute he had a PTO, I was at camp just about every single day when he was trying out for this team. His speed, his physicality, he's crafty with the puck in ways that you wouldn't expect a guy with his, I'm going to put in quotes, reputation or kind of the way he's modeled his game. He's very skilled in so many different ways. And his camp has been incredible so far as well.
You know, a guy that I don't know why my gut, and maybe I'm skipping ahead here and we'll get to this, but my gut tells me that Alan Quine's going to play a role in this.
You think so?
I don't know why. Why do I say that?
I don't know.
You know why I think I say that? Because for a guy that really hasn't had a huge role since coming to this team, he's been extremely consistent when he's had chances.
That's true. He's always been one of those
guys. And he's reliable.
Rely on exactly 100% what I was getting at is the reliability. He's the kind of guy you can put in just about any situation. He's good on the boards.
Well, how many times did Alan Quine piss you off?
Never. He's never.
How many times has Jankowski pissed you off?
Oh, about a million.
You know what I mean?
See, but that's something that I think Calgary's going to have to reconsider in the offseason here.
Oh, Jankowski's not coming back.
He is.
There's no way.
He might not. I don't even think he's ever going to get another NHL contract. He is terrible.
What? And what? We shouldn't
he's
go down
worse
this,
than Garnet Hathaway.
We shouldn't go down this rabbit hole. But what happened to him? I defended that guy so much. And he
looked incredible. in the latter half of his first season.
Because
I remember being at a game against Vegas, and he had 4 points or something.
That was last year. That was the last game of the year last year.
Right. That was it was against Vegas, right? I was at that game.
Yeah. It looked like a world beater. I know.
And now I don't know. He looks like
he doesn't care. He looks like a drill.
No. Oh, I know. And that maybe that's what he wants.
Maybe they hang out, man. Let's get into this Flame Jets series. And I've listened to probably more Hockey Talk Radio than should be allowed, probably. But I don't know how many podcasts I listen to. And daily Flames talk and stuff. But who would you consider the favorite is? I don't want your prediction yet. We're going to get that at the end of the show. But who do you tab as a favorite here? Is Calgary the favorite? Or is this just such a wash that no one can... Because I've heard people say Calgary's the favorite.
I've got to be honest.
And I've heard a lot of people say Winnipeg's the favorite. I don't know.
This entire play-in is a wash. I got to be brutally honest with you. There's no one team that really runs away with it, if you ask me. But if I had to break it down to who a favorite would be, I think I'd have to go with Winnipeg.
I would too.
I think the Jets have a little more of what it takes. Blake Wheeler in the playoffs is a different beast. Their top six knows how to put the puck in the back of the net. And my God, if Connor Hellebuck is even half as good as he was in the regular season, I will be the first to admit he would have been on my MVP card.
Yeah.
If I were to have a vote,
yeah,
which I never
will. Goalies always get left off that, don't they?
Totally. I think that they are underappreciated in that capacity, but Connor Hellebuck was absolutely incredible this year.
So let's compare the Flames and Jets, and let's start with goaltending. And let's compare Flames goaltending to Jets goaltending, and let's talk a little bit about who we think is going to start for the Flames and kind of go down that. Oof, I don't even know if we want to go down that, but we will. I wholeheartedly believe the Jets take the nod in goaltending by a mile. Do you?
I do, but at the same time, I would like to spin this to you as well. Would you rather, or would you consider the tandem of Talbot and Riddick
better?
to be more consistent, or maybe like not better, because we know Hellebuck is way better, but would you consider the tandems opposed to just a Hellebuck and just a starter from the Flames?
I will give the goaltending nod as a favor to the Jets, but here's where the Flames might have a secret weapon, and that is if for some crazy reason Connor Hellebuck has a bad game one, like, there's no falling back.
No, like we said before about winning game one, like, it's more important now than it ever was.
But if Riddick Talbot has a bad game one, you know the other guy's playing game two.
Totally, and you can rely on that tandem.
In Winnipeg, if Hellebuck goes bad, he just goes bad.
That's right, and who, you're not going to lean on your number two. Hellebuck is playing, if this series goes five, I would not be surprised if he played all five games.
He will.
There's no reason, rhyme or reason, even on a back-to-back, that he wouldn't.
I think there's a chance that if the Calgary's goalie starts game one and the Flames win, there's a good chance, barring a disaster, he plays all five games.
Well, look what happened last year. I know it's a different coaching tandem, but Smitty was outstanding.
He was great.
Outstanding. The best player on this team by far, which pains me to say. It pains me to say that him and Sam Bennett were incredible, but
we'll get to that.
We'll get into it.
Okay, so let's answer the major question everybody wants to know.
Go down that way.
Who do you start? Game one.
Cam Talbot.
Me too.
I start Cam Talbot because
I think he's a better goalie.
Was incredible. He was outstanding. And when. The thing with Riddick is I think he took a little bit too much from playing with Mike Smith.
Yes.
I think he gets too emotional and he gets in his own head a little bit too much. And it's never his fault if you ask. He just seems to lash out a little
Same
bit
with
too
Smith.
Much.
That's how Smith was.
Totally. And that's what I'm trying to say is he took a little bit too much out of Mike Smith's book during his tenure as a Calgary Flame. So I think 10 out
and
of 10
And I love
times,
Riddick. And I'm saying that I like him a lot, and I wish that he – honestly, if I could write a script, I'd have it be him start game one and have a great game.
Mm-hmm.
That's better for the future of the team. So who do you think, okay, we both would start Talbot, just because I think he's got experience and I think he's a better goaltender right now today. Mm-hmm. Who do you think Flames coaching staff is going to start?
This is a good one because I think that there's a couple different ways that they can look at it. First and foremost, if you want to go based off experience and who was better near the break and whatnot, and who's looking better in camp, I think the signs still point to Talbot. But if you want to reassure a little bit of faith in a guy who may be with you a little bit longer in the future, because keep in mind Talbot's only on a 1-year deal.
Talbot's out after this year.
Exactly. Then you maybe start Riddick and say, hey, man, we have an opportunity here to fight for a first-round spot. We're going to rely on you. Like, you need to be the guy because you are going to be essentially one of our guys going forward. So
I think that's what's going to happen.
I think so. I wouldn't see it outside of the realm of possibility, but at the same time, if you're trying to win hockey games, I think you got to start Talbot.
I think they start Riddick. I think they're going to have that conversation and say exactly what you just said. But I also think that the leash will be really short.
Totally. And that's the beauty of having a guy like Cam Talbot that you can resort to after, is that you tell him, like, the leash is short. You need to be, you know, like, early last season you.
Yeah.
And lead this team and carry this team. But if it goes south and things are not looking good, we are going to bring you out just as fast as we put you in.
Yeah.
They don't need to beat around the bush. I think they need to tell him how it is.
So they know.
And drill that in his head. Exactly. So that there's no BS and beating around the bush or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Let's talk defense a little bit. Where do you give the nod on defense?
Oh, man. The Jets' blue line might be their kryptonite in this whole, and which is kind of ironic to say when it seems like all we do is crap on the Flames' blue line when we talk together.
Well, we talk highly about them, but they're...
Maybe just Brody.
Yeah, we were tough on him. But you know what? The whole defense kind of pissed us off because they look so good on paper, but then we look at their numbers and it's like, geez. And then this year the Jets were decimated on defense, had nobody left. And totally. If you look at their depth chart, we'd both say, well, the Flames have the edge by a mile. But if you look at the production of their defense and what they really did do this year, yes, Hellebuck had to stand on his head, but it wasn't like the defense was like losing them tons of games.
No, I don't think so either, but another thing to keep in mind is the fact that Hamonic's sitting out, and they're going to have to make some kind of decision on how they're going to set their pairings. I don't think they're going to break up Geo Brody.
No, I don't think they should.
I don't either, because when Geo's good, Brody looks good.
Yep.
So if it's not broken, don't fix it. I mean,
I think we're going to see Anderson and Hanifin together.
Totally.
And I think we'll see Gustafson and Forbert together, and I don't know that that's bad. I don't think we're going to see Valimaki because we can't risk him in the Seattle thing.
I hope we don't. Totally, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think Stone's going to be our fill-in guy if we need him.
That's true. And then like, keep in mind too, like Shillington's there as well. Yep. I don't know if I'd start him over. And I'm not high up on Michael Stone either, but I don't know if I start Shillington over Stone.
I put Stone in just because I feel safer.
Me too. That's what I was trying to get at too.
And I see so much potential in Shillington too. I do. I see so much potential in him. But
I think that given the right situation, the right pairing, like I feel like he can be a top four guy.
Yeah.
We just haven't given him. We haven't. Not to say he hasn't been primed enough. Like he played a lot with Stockton and whatnot. But I feel like the situation just hasn't come to fruition yet, where he finds his role, because it's basically, it comes about, you know what I mean? Like this, his role and his niche on the team hasn't quite came to blossom yet.
He's kind of in a goofy situation. Like, you know, you watch him play in the American Hockey League and he's just way too good for that. But yet he's skill-wise, definitely an NHLer. I worry sometimes about his decision-making.
Totally, and I think that's the reason why he's not an everyday starter right now. Because I think if he can fine tune that, he can easily slot in with a second pairing in a second pairing situation on this team. But
are you excited to see Gustafson?
Totally.
So am I.
I love both of them. I'm high up on Forbert. He played a lot with Drew Doughty as well. Like, I mean, this guy, he's played with veteran.
I watched Forbert play a lot when he played at the University of North Dakota. And so I've always kind of been a fan of his. And when Calgary went out and got him, I was pretty pumped about that because I think he's another safe player back there. Mm-hmm. And I think Gustafson has a huge offensive upside. And I think he's a guy we could re-sign too, is the thing.
Well, that's something that we're going to have to consider when our blue line implodes in this offseason. So
where are you on the Hamonic opting out?
Look, I totally 150 million% respect the decision. And I think it was the best decision for him and his family. Keep in mind, he lost his father at a young age. And the way I think that he probably looks at it is, hey, worst case scenario, I get this thing and it doesn't end well. I got a beautiful young family here, and I don't want the same thing to happen to them what happened to me. So I respect the living hell out of it. But where I think it hurts him is possibly in this coming off season, if COVID is still a thing and he decides that he's still going to opt out, who's going to give him a contract? No. Nobody's going to sign a guy on good faith, right?
I don't think he re-signs in Calgary. And I'm not saying Calgary's not going to re-sign him because of this. I don't believe
no,
that.
No, I don't think so either.
But I think, you know, and I said it in my last episode, and I still feel the same way. When I first heard it, I was pissed. Mm-hmm. Not so much pissed at him, but just pissed at the whole COVID thing.
That's kind of where I was at too.
I mean, I respect the hell out of it because, I mean, I have three kids at home too, and the last thing I would want to happen is something to me or my kids. I'd rather happen, you know, to me than my kids, but you know, you just don't want anything to happen to the family at all. But then I thought about it a little more and I thought, well, wait a second. It's not like we're sending them to like Afghanistan here. We're sending them to the bubble where it really is probably safer than his home.
Totally. That's maybe it was a factor that came down to being away from the family.
Yeah.
Too.
And we're not in his head and I'm definitely not going to judge him or criticize him I think me and you have even talked about this. He was kind of tabbed as my favorite Flame because the guy will run through a brick wall for a teammate. I mean, I respect the hell out of him. And honestly, I would love for Calgary to re-sign him. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think that, like we said about the whole Shillington situation, I think that this might be an opportunity for him to slot in and find his role. We got Valimaki coming up. You know, Anderson looks good. I think that, you know, of the free agents and whatnot, like Forbert and Gustafson are certainly good options as well. Like
Connor Mackey's been pressing.
Connor Mackey, exactly.
And Colton Pullman's not a bad player either.
No, and that's kind of like a true testament to how good the development is within this organization as well, and how they groom. Like I think Dylan Dubé is the perfect example. They didn't rush him. He took his time. He saw time in the American Hockey League. And now look at him. He's looking like the best player in camp right now. And I think he's only going to get better.
Now it's time to talk about the forwards. And, boy, me and you, should we just leave out Gaudreau on this one? But, okay, let's get
just
it over
like
with.
He's going to leave out on us in the playoffs.
Let's get it over with. Do you think we're going to see a new Gaudreau come playoffs this year over last year?
No.
I don't either.
Because his play this entire season has been a 70-game performance of what he would have done in the playoffs last year against Colorado.
Yep, no, I'm with you.
Nowhere to be found.
Doesn't that suck to say that?
It sucks to say because everybody's so high up on this guy, and I understand it. I totally get it. But at the end of the day, he's not a playoff player. No. You know what I mean? Like he's just not the kind of guy who'd be willing to do the kind of things that Hamonic does to win hockey games. He's not going to go play the puck in the dirty areas. He's arguably one of the worst power play quarterbacks in this the league. Like I've said it before on the show. He is the easiest guy to defend if you're on a penalty kill.
Absolutely.
He's going to come in, he's going to cross the blue line, and you just have to poke your stick at him. And he's either going to cower away or he's going to dump the puck into oblivion.
So you talked about our bottom six. and how well they've looked in camps thus far, and how much talk there's been about them. And we both know that we need 12 solid forwards to advance. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can talk about winning the Stanley Cup right at this moment, but to advance. Do we have the depth it's going to take to beat a Winnipeg, who I look at their forward crew and I'm just like, whoa, this is a good, good group.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I think our bottom six might have the edge on theirs, but top six wise, I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think Winnipeg takes the edge. Our bottom six always seems to be productive and always seems to do the right things. And I don't mean productive just in the sense of point production. I think that they play well together. They have one guy on every line who's going to do exactly his role. They have chemistry. I just feel like the bottom six is miles ahead of our top six in terms of chemistry, accountability, and responsibility. Just feel like I'm with you. Night and day.
I'm with you. I worry. I think we have good depth in our bottom six. I worry about a couple holes there. But in our top six, my gut tells me Monahan comes back and has a much better playoffs. And I think Lindholm will have a much better playoffs. I worry about Gaudreau and I don't. I wish I had different news there. I don't see huge things from him. Matthew Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk might not put up a goal every game, but boy, he just brings another aspect to the game. And I've been impressed with Mahjupani. And
Thank you. That's your guy. Last time you weren't so high.
I know. I also look for big things from Michael Backlund.
Me as well. I would say the same thing. I've always been. I got to tell you, and I think I've said it before on the show, he's one of the most humble, down-to-earth, nicest guys to talk to, always friendly.
Easy to cheer for, isn't he?
He certainly is. He's one of those guys that you just can't hate.
No. Even when he has a bad game, I find an excuse for him.
I know, and it's just because everybody loves him so much.
I know.
He's the heart and soul. He's a great leader on this team, and I feel like of the younger guys coming up through the system, he's one of the guys that they should be looking up to. So, Backlund, I feel like he can be a game changer. And when he's on, he's on. And I just hope we get the better half of Michael Backlund, at least in this first play-in round, if not throughout the entire playoffs. Cause once he gets hot too.
For sure he does. I mean, he's a streaky scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the last 2 years, he'll go games without any points, and then all of a sudden it'll be 3-point night, 2-point night, 2-goal night. I mean, it's like, whoa. So
it comes out of nowhere.
If we can just get him hot, I think we're going to be in good shape there. When you look at the Winnipeg Jets, what player on that team do you fear the most?
Oh man, that's a good one. I think it's got to be Kyle Connor for me. He's so good.
Do you fear Kyle Connor more than Connor Hellebuyck, though? I do.
I think so, because I think Kyle Connor has the opportunity to be an absolute game stealer, and a game changer for that matter. I think that he can take control of not only his line, but get everyone else going too on all cylinders. And I think that Kyle Connor himself can in turn make Connor Hellebuyck a better guy. You know what I mean? Like the momentum and the fuel that he drives, it's just, I don't know. I fear him the most, and I'm not excited to see how he does this year.
Do you know what scares me, though? Look at this. Look at the Jets roster. And I asked that question to you, what guy you fear the most? And I'm like, well, he could say Kyle Connor. He could say Nikolaj Ehlers. He could say Connor Hellebuyck. He could say Patrick Laine. He could say Mark Scheifele, and he could say Blake Wheeler. That's six guys you could have said. And I would have had to say, I probably agree with you. Totally. So let's flip the script.
I was going to say, who are you going to say now?
Who do the Jets fear on the Flames the most? And how many guys do we have that they fear?
Based on camp, I got to go with It's going to pain me to say Dylan Dubé, but I'm really high up on him.
I know you are, but I don't think Jets management.
But I don't think so either. But that's what I'm. That just should speak to you about how little they should fear.
Who are they feared? Who are they worried about? Maybe Elias Lindholm.
He was our best forward all year. But other than
Do they fear Monahan? No.
Outside of Lindholm, maybe Kachuk. I don't know. But how do you make a case for it?
I think Kachuk's great and all, but
he's not going to impress you on the score sheet.
No, I mean he can be a game changer, but I don't know if he's a series changer.
No, he's not going to be on the score sheet every night, I don't think. But I can't answer it. I just don't think there's a solid answer.
Kind of scary though. That
scares the hell out of me.
Kind of scary. When I was coming up with these things to talk about, I'm like, ooh, this is kind of scary here. I didn't realize how bad this was. But so, who do you think Calgary's biggest hero will be in this first series?
Milan Lucic.
Oh my gosh! Did you just say that?
Honestly, it's going to be Luch. He's going to be the game changer. He's going to be the guy to watch. I'm mark my words. Write this down. Bookmark this. Pin this tweet. Do whatever you got to do. First round is going to be Lucic's.
So who do you think is going to be the biggest surprise player? Which you could have said Lucic's.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't.
It might be the same thing.
I'll flip the script here. I'll go with Lucic for the most surprise. Is that what you're saying? Biggest surprise?
Sure. Those are questions that are probably the same guy. But, you know, you could have Dubé as your surprise. You could have Lucic as your surprise.
You could have Gaudreau as your surprise. You could have Monahan as your surprise. You know what I mean? Like, we were just talking about who scares you the most on Calgary.
Who do you think is going to be the biggest disappointment?
Oh, man.
I know the softball question or the softball answer would be
Johnny,
but I think the answer there, and this could be a flip flop too. I think he could be our biggest hero, but I also could think he could equally be as big as disappointment, and that's David Riddick.
Totally,
so much rides on our goaltending on this series. It's crazy.
It's not a good place to be in. It's not a good situation when you're relying so heavily on your tandem and you don't have any faith in them. Not that you don't have faith in them, but you don't have as much faith as you should.
You know, I don't mean to sound negative about our goaltending. I actually do have a lot of faith in them.
Mm-hmm.
If Riddick, he's shown me so many signs of being capable of winning a series, and so has Talbot. But Riddick has shown me more signs of being completely incapable of winning the series. And Talbot has shown me maybe a game or two. But as a whole, I felt safer with Talbot in net.
I did too.
But as a pairing, I don't think and you compare that to the rest of the league, I wouldn't be pissed going into next season with that pairing, would you?
No, I don't think I would. I pray and I beg for the Flames to eventually settle with a tandem instead of flopping with, okay, we'll ride with Smitty and Riddick. All right, well, Smitty didn't work. Okay, let's go get Cam. All right, well, maybe he's not going to work. Should we make a push on Holtby? Are we going to be able to get some?
Oh, we can't afford Holtby.
No, but I what I mean is,
I know what you mean, getting that one big guy.
Yeah, it's never worked and it's never going to work.
Not in today's NHL.
You need to, essentially, you got to bite the bullet and ride out with what you've got until, I'm excited as hell to see Dustin Wolf come up in the system.
I am too.
I don't know how he's going to look.
Jinxing Wolf, though, by giving him, as a fan base, I see so many things saying, let's just put this guy in the lineup next year. And I'm just like, oh my God, people,
I don't know if
goalies develop so much from the age 19 to 25 that we might have a diamond in the rough here, but we might have a big turd too.
Well, that's just look at early goalie picks in the last 5 years. Look at a guy like Zach Fucali.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
Yeah.
He was great for world. You even recognize the name?
Yeah, I do.
Talking about Team Canada, how good he was with the World Juniors, drafted by the Canadians. They're like, oh my God, we got the guy for after Price.
Yeah.
And
he's probably pumping gas now somewhere.
He has no contract. Yeah. He doesn't even have a contract in Europe.
Isn't that just crazy? Goaltending is such a crapshoot. It's a
volatile position if you're trying to make it big.
And you know what? Like a guy out of the lowest junior league can crack it. I mean, Hellebuck played in.
Can do it.
Yeah, I mean, Hellebuck played in North American Hockey League, and so did Bishop. And you look at like some of these goaltenders that just
Hellebuck played in the null.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did.
Huh.
Like, isn't that something? Like, you look around the league, and there's just so many goaltenders that just came out of...
Just come out of nowhere. Like,
out of nowhere. Listen to the, where did this guy come from? But, I don't know. I'm super excited for this series. I'm also super nervous for this series, which, I don't know. I guess last year when Calgary was expected to crush Colorado, I was super nervous last year, too, and...
Exactly.
That proved to be
the nerves are gonna be there, but I think that at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, we move on to the next round. We're happy because we're making a push. We get put out. We have a chance at first overall.
So. Oh, don't fall! I don't want to be that team, though, man. Not that
Neither
I don't.
Do I? But I wouldn't.
I'd take my shot 1-8, though. Wouldn't you like that?
I would. I certainly like the odds better now than before.
Oh, I just I can't imagine. I can't imagine, though, how bad this roster is going to get blown up if we get KO'd right away in three games.
Oh, I don't want that to happen for that sole purpose, because I just don't know what True Living does from here.
Well, we don't even have a lot of time to do it.
No, you have no time. At least if you get put on the first round, you have more time than someone who gets out in the third technical round.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess here's the million-dollar question. Oh, I need your prediction, man.
All right. The big prediction. The Audie James Calgary-Winnipeg prediction. It is going to be the Winnipeg Jets in five.
Okay. I'm going to say the Winnipeg Jets in four.
Okay. I was going to say four, but I just have this hunch that Talbot is going to steal games. I feel like my prediction is they're going to start Talbot and they're going to ride him through because he's going to be the one that they rely on. He's not going to be the issue in this series. I don't think the issue is going to be goaltending.
I just think, you know what I think our problem is going to be? I think it's going to be lack of scoring.
Totally. 150%. I would totally agree with you.
I don't know.
We don't have real firepower. Like, we really don't.
No. And you know what? I would love to get on this podcast in 2 weeks with you and just say, hey, your boy Mangiapane is just tearing it up, man.
Oh, man.
And I hope he's the guy.
Nothing would make me happier.
Like, I hope he's the guy. Not that I'm, like, discounting your Dylan Dubé thing, but if you remember preseason last year, Dylan Dubé was a rock star.
Totally.
And then 100%. when the season came, it wasn't that he was crappy or anything, but he just had trouble putting up points. Mm-hmm. And I've been not really that critical of his game just because he's young still and like what do we expect, you know? But
right.
Mangiapane, I was a little critical of this year. And I do think, though, that he has the potential maybe to be that surprise guy that all of a sudden in this five-game series puts up 7 points, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we got 7 points on a Mangiapane against Winnipeg. Like, that's huge. We need that. You know who another guy is? And I'm probably going to get hate mail for saying this, but we watched him do it last year. I don't know that Sam Bennett isn't just a complete animal in this.
I was hoping you were going to bring him up, because if last year's playoff was any indicator of not only how good he was in the playoffs, but how he found his role and how he translated that into the, like, he wasn't great this season, but no. He definitely wasn't bad.
I had hardly any games where I was swearing about him.
Right. Cause he plays the minutes that he's supposed to play. He's effective in the way that he's supposed to be effective. He knows his role. He found his niche. Is he playing like a top four pick?
Hey, but
maybe
you know what?
Not.
Us Flames guys, we got to get over that.
Totally.
We gotta get over that.
I agree. I 100% agree. But that's not to say, like, I think that he could do some danger.
Oh, I
if not I on mean, the score sheet, then he'll be effective. Oh, like, he's good at creating space.
Okay, when we talked about Winnipeg fearing somebody, I don't think they're fearing that Sam Bennett's going to put up 10 points. They might be fearing, though, that Sam Bennett causes some physical damage out there. Because Sam Bennett is one of our few guys that is tough to play against. And that's one of the knocks on Calgary. Were we at all tough to play? Who named one guy in our roster that was tough to play against in the playoffs last year?
Sam.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
And maybe Smitty to an extent. He was good. But
no,
Sam,
but I mean,
like,
I mean, that was it. I mean, everybody talks about Tkachuk being this force out there, and he can be. But, like, I don't think anybody in Colorado last year was like, oh, crap, I'm going to be facing up against Tkachuk's line all night.
No. Bennett was the only real X factor in last year's playoffs. And I hope he can do it again, because if that's the case, then maybe it won't be as bad as we anticipated. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be the godsend or the savior, but maybe he helps create a little more space and maybe, I don't know.
Think of what depth that brings us. Think about
that.
Think about if Bennett's going and Mangiapane are going. How much does that help our top line?
It's
crazy how much that could help us.
Totally. I 100% agree.
Tuesday night, Calgary, Edmonton. That I will be glued to my TV. I'm sure you will too. And then Saturday night, it all starts. And oh man, I couldn't be more excited for hockey to come back. And then, of course, to watch Flames Jets, which I consider is the third biggest rival for the Flames. I don't know how you feel about that.
I would
that,
agree. Yeah, I would say they're up there, certainly.
They're in my top five for sure. But looking forward to that. Always enjoy visiting Calgary Flames hockey with you. You are my guy. We always have some good banter back and forth, and I enjoy having you on this show and appreciate you joining us here tonight.
No, thanks again for having me. This is good. It's like I say every time, it's not often I get to talk to a logical Flames fan, so I certainly enjoy our chat, so I appreciate you having me on.
I hope we can get on and discuss a Flames win.
I was going to say, let's talk again when we're in the first round after the qualifiers.
And not a Flames exit.
Honestly, all right. Well, let's book for that then.
All right, enjoy the qualifying round.
I will, thanks.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com. NHL news for NHL fans.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, my friends from Grit for 60, covering the Winnipeg Jets for the Hockey Podcast Network. It's Brandon Farrell and Connor Farrell. And you know what? We start next Saturday night with Flames Jets best of five series. Guys, your quick take on where you guys are at with feelings-wise going into this series, how you think your Winnipeg Jets will do against the Calgary Flames.
So, just real quick, I think for the Jets to win this one, they're going to need Connor Hellebuck to steal a game or two. And if pre-break is any indication of what we'll see from Connor Hellebuck, I think he'll do just that. I've got Winnipeg in five. Brendan?
So Connor's got Winnipeg in five. Brendan, your take on the series and your prediction.
Yeah, I can see that while the Jets' defense is pretty bad, I can see a way that Connor Hellebuck steals a couple games, you know, and guys like Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine get hot and, you know, allow the Jets to steal a couple games that they probably shouldn't have won, and I'm going to take Winnipeg in five.
Two guys picking Winnipeg. I don't blame you. I like Winnipeg's roster. I like what they offer. I do think this is going to be a hard-fought, physical series. Appreciate Brendan and Connor jumping on the show here quick today for their predictions, and they will be joining me on next week's episode after Game 1. We'll get to break down that first game, the ever-important Game 1. Thanks for joining me, guys, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network.
And now Semenko out in front of the goal, pounding away at Joe Kocher, who's down on the ice, holding the back of his head.
You know, actually, what really surprised me, especially with Twitter being like Leaf Nation, was Grimson over Colton Orr. That voting really surprised me. I didn't think that would happen.
Don't forget to catch the Fourth Line Voice podcast wherever you find your podcast, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news, and we'll start right off with the ECHL affiliate in Kansas City. Once again, they will be joining the Flames. The Mavericks will be the ECHL partner of the Flames next season. They have been since 2017-2018. Inter-squad games are going, three of them for that matter. Games were held at 8:30, 12:30, and then 4:30 on Friday to mimic the first three start times when we take on those Winnipeg Jets. Bad news for the Flames. Elias Lindholm was not on the ice for practice on Thursday. That's a little bit of a scary. He left Tuesday's inner squad game in the third period and didn't return. Probably everything going to be okay. Line combinations have kind of come together with Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm on the first line, Tkachuk, Backlund, Mangiapane on line two, Lucic, Ryan, and Dubé on line three, Bennett, Ronaldo sharing time with Jankowski and Reeder on that fourth line. Geo paired up with Brody, Hanifin, Anderson, no surprise there, Forbert, Gustafson, Shillington, Stone, Riddick, Talbot in the nets. Goaltenders have yet to be determined. The final scrimmage was held on Friday. No Lindholm. Ward says that there should be no concern at all with his injury, and hopefully he'll be back. We need him back for game one, that's for sure. Riddick, Gillies, and Zegdulin played the final scrimmage game on Friday, and Talbot did not. Ward said there's nothing to read into this. Leaning at playing both Talbot and Riddick in Edmonton Tuesday night for that preseason battle. Ward also commented that they will be taking a total of 31 players into the bubble, which is what is allowed. Four of them will be goaltenders, 27 skaters, 10 of them being defensemen, 17 being forwards. Some notable mentions there. Valimaki on that roster heading into the bubble. Also, Zach Ronaldo, Buddy Robinson, Alan Quine. All those guys have made that bubble roster. One more thing. We do have a game on Tuesday in the bubble against Edmonton. Flames are scheduled to head to the bubble Sunday afternoon. Their final skate, I believe, is going on as we record this Saturday late afternoon. Seattle has announced their team. Finally. Man, it took forever. But finally, we know that the Seattle franchise will be named the Kraken, and they will join the Flames in the Pacific Division for the 2021-2022 season. And that should be interesting, having another West Coast team to battle with. Rolling on into our listener question Facebook poll section of the show. Facebook poll had to do it this week. We had to go to all of our sources on Facebook. Three Facebook pages that I follow and routinely comment, talk, and banter with other Flames fans about hockey. Flames Hub, Calgary Flames Fans, and Calgary Flames Fan Page. Go join all those groups on Facebook. I ran a poll on all three of them. Ran it for just over 24 hours. Got 666 total votes. Thank you. What a great group of guys and gals filling in and giving me their opinions. And my question was, what will be the result of the five-game qualifying series against the Winnipeg Jets? And I had six options, because those are the six options that can happen. I can have Winnipeg win in three games, Winnipeg win in four, Winnipeg win in five, Calgary win in three, Calgary wins in four games, Calgary wins in five games. So we'll go the lowest first. Just 11 people on the Facebook poll of Calgary Flames fans pick 2%, pick Winnipeg to win in three games. I'm not really surprised there. I don't think we'll see a sweep either way. Also, just 16 people picked 2%, picked Winnipeg to win in five. That one surprised me just a little bit. 29 people, 4% of the polled people, picked Calgary to win in three. I would agree there. I think it's very unlikely that we will see a sweep. Then the numbers jump up a little bit. 7%, 44 people said four games. That was me. I fall into the Winnipeg wins in four. Yep, that's my prediction. Winnipeg wins in four. Don't anybody get mad at me. I'm being a realistic here. And plus, I'll preface this. I'm not always that great on predictions. So no hate mail, please. Just keep listening to the show. 35%, 236 people have Calgary winning in four games, and 50%, a whopping 50% of the people think this is going to go five games and Calgary is going to win. That's crazy. I didn't think we'd have 50% thinking it's going to go five games, but you know what? I always trust these guys. These groups are great. These guys know their hockey. 666 people voted. Thank you very much. 89% of the poll people think the Calgary Flames will defeat the Winnipeg Jets. 11% think Winnipeg will. Yes, surprising confidence from a group of Flames fans who have great hopes for this team this year. It's great to see. I do question, guys, is it really realistic from what we've seen this year? I don't know. Is it? Can this team win? Can the Flames knock off the Jets? Time will tell, but I know I am sure ready for Saturday night because it is going to be off the charts.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Hey, Flames fans, on the next episode, it's going to be next week. Yes, we are back on a weekly basis on the Hockey Podcast Network and FlamesUnfiltered.com. Yep, they come out Monday mornings on the Hockey Podcast Network. And next week, the guys from Grit for 60 Podcast, the Winnipeg Jets. Yes, they cover the Winnipeg Jets. They will be joining me to break down that ever-important Game 1. Man, is that going to be a fun game to watch. It is going to be great. It is amazing to have Flames hockey back. I really hope that we're talking about a solid Game 1 performance. Such a critical game. See you next week on the Hockey Podcast Network and FlamesUnfiltered.com.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.